Hi, everyone. Today we'll be talking about King Abijah, Rehoboam's son, Solomon's grandson, and Asa, who is Abijah's son. The title of this teaching is Relationships, Seek Perfect Love. Let me paint a picture of the emotions in Judah and Israel during this time, and then we'll get started. Do you ever feel really stressed? The conflict of relationships can cause so much stress that you just don't feel settled. There's no joy in your days. Think about it. How are your relationships going? If you had to rate your relationships from 1 to 10, what rating score would you have? 10? 7? 2? 0? Is there conflict in your family? Maybe your siblings or even your aging parents are weighing you down emotionally. Now, what about coworkers? There can be so much drama and conflict at work. Is everyone happy? Is there drama and chaos? Do you find yourself caught in the middle of the conflict? If so, you probably think at times, "How did I get in the middle of this? I never asked for this kind of drama." Think about it. What if all of your relationships were smooth and effortless? Wow, that's what everyone longs for. Relationships that are easy, fulfilling, and, well, perfect. Well, there was a lot of stress in Judah at that time in history. The joyful days of David and Solomon were gone. All of these tribes, who were all brothers, by the way, were not getting along. The kingdom had split and everyone was confused and in conflict. Some worshiped strange idols and some were angry about worshiping idols. This was not how their fathers were raised. And they had grown up with great and amazing stories of the living God, all the power and victories he had demonstrated. So people would all know he was the true God of Israel. Those memories seemed distant. What happened? How could this be? There were so many idol stations that it was almost like our gas stations today. The kings had put idol poles under every green tree. Where were the faithful ones? You will see in this teaching that there still remained a small remnant, a tiny light of God shining ever so brightly. All it takes with God is a tiny remnant to kindle a fire. We will be talking about King Abijah and his dad, who do all the evil building and maintaining all of the dark idol stations. And then we will finish with his son Asa, who follows the tiny remnant that is left in Judah. Fortunately, there are 41 more joyful years with Asa, because darkness is no fun, is it? Nobody needs extra stress in their lives. Wouldn't you agree? All we desire is peace and rest, and love. One of the most important things I've learned in my Christian walk is, if I don't seek God, I end up anxious and stressed. So let's look at the struggles in the northern and southern kingdom to see what unfolds. We will begin by looking at the end of Rehoboam's life. In looking at the end of his life and the life of his son Abijah, and even Jeroboam, the king of Israel, they all seem to have unnecessary drama and conflict in their lives. Of course, most of the drama was due to Jeroboam, because he had such a fear of losing tribes to Judah and to Benjamin. Jeroboam was in constant battle and conflict with Rehoboam, and then we see he continued the wars with Abijah after Rehoboam's death. Scripture tells us Jeroboam was always at war. So, what were these kings missing? How can we learn from their lives to avoid drama and conflict in our lives? Let's take a look at 1 Kings 14 and 2 Chronicles 12 that covers their lives to see, and then we'll look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it teaches us how to avoid these dramas and conflicts in our relationships. So first, we need to finish the life of Rehoboam that we started in the last teaching. 1 Kings 14, 21-31 reviews and tells us the fate of Rehoboam's reign. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was 41 when he became king, and he reigned only 17 years compared to David and Solomon, who reigned 40 years each. Rehoboam was king of Judah, and overall, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He built high places to worship instead of going to God's temple. Also, he built Ashtoreth poles on every high hill and under every green tree for idol worship. Sounds like drive-through idol worship under every tree. There were also male cult prostitutes or sodomites in the land. In Rehoboam's fifth year of reign, Shishak, the king of Egypt, came to Rehoboam and took away all the treasures of the house of the Lord, the temple, and also took all the treasures from the king's house. This was certainly added drama. Things did not go well in his life. But why? 2 Chronicles 12:14 says, Rehoboam did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So he did not seek God. So that's what he was missing, seeking God. Now, let's look at Abijah, Rehoboam's son. Abijah's story is covered in 1 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 13. It begins in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, who was the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, when Abijah became king in Judah, the southern kingdom. If you remember in the last teaching, Jeroboam was very evil and built two golden calves for worship so that his 10 tribes of Israel would not go back to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. He was afraid they would no longer follow him if they returned to the temple, so he told them to worship the golden calves, and they did. So Jeroboam fought with Rehoboam constantly to keep the people from following him, and he fought constantly with Abijah for the same reasons. What was Jeroboam missing? He did not seek God. Jeroboam's not seeking God resulted in a fear that caused him to panic and constantly caused drama and conflict. War. It looks like he fought Abijah nonstop because scripture says he constantly fought Abijah. But with King Abijah, Jeroboam only fought him for a short time because Abijah only reigned for 3 years. The scripture says of Abijah, he walked in all the sins of his father, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. Yet for David's sake, the Lord gave Abijah a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. So what was Abijah missing? He didn't seek God either. That's what all three of these kings missed in their lives, seeking God. But in 2 Chronicles, it says there was a remnant who did seek God. The remnant consisted of priests who ministered to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and sweet incense every morning and evening. Now, only one of the many battles fought between Abijah and Jeroboam was recorded in Scripture. So, wonder why God only recorded one battle during Abijah's reign. It seems to be recorded because this remnant that seeks God shines in this battle for the glory of God. They were a light left shining in a dark time of idol worship. They were there worshiping the true God of Israel and ended up being a light for Asa, Abijah's son. Listen to the faith and influence this remnant had on Judah during this battle. The battle begins when Abijah stood on Mount Ephraim. He was in his battle array ready with 400,000 men in his army. Jeroboam was ready with 800,000 men. Now, even though Jeroboam's army was larger, Abijah said, "Hear me, Jeroboam and all Israel. You should know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom of Israel to David forever. But you, O Jeroboam, have rebelled against the Lord. And now you come to fight us with your golden calves that you made for your gods. And you cast out all the priests of the Lord from the sons of Aaron, the Levites. You have made men from other nations to be your priests. But as for us, we have not forsaken the Lord our God, and the priests who minister, they are Levites, the sons of Aaron." Abijah continued, "They burned sacrifice and sweet incense to the Lord every morning and evening. They also set the showbread in order on the pure table and the candlestick of gold with the lamps to burn every morning and evening. We keep charge of God, but you have forsaken him with your foreign priests." Now, Abijah was certainly speaking of his priests, but apparently his words don't reflect his own actions, because he was not acting godly. He was acting wicked due to his idol worship. I guess you could say he was somewhat of a hypocrite, talking like he was good. So let's continue. Then Abijah charged to fight this battle between Israel and Judah, but Jeroboam ambushed from behind them. When Judah looked back to see the ambush, they must have thought to themselves, "We're done for. History." Well, in their desperation, they cried to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. All the men of Judah shouted, and God defeated Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. So Abijah and his army defeated 500,000 of Israel's men. The children of Judah prevailed because they relied on God. In their time of panic, they did seek God, and he answered them. After that, Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel, Jeshana, Ephraim, and all the towns around those cities. Abijah married 14 wives and had many sons and daughters. So you can imagine that Judah must have been talking for years about this miraculous battle. It probably made the remnant grow and spread God's glory amongst Judah, the southern kingdom. This brings us to Asa, Abijah's son, who became king next in the line of Judah. With all the praise of God, Asa must have followed the remnant and ended up being a very good king. Yay, a good king, finally. One who did seek God. Let's see what happened. In 2 Chronicles 14, it says Asa did good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. He took away all the altars of the strange gods. This included all the idols Solomon had erected to the gods of his foreign wives and the idols Rehoboam and Abijah had erected. Scripture continues telling us Asa took away the high places, broke down the images, and cut down the groves, which were the places like gas stations under every green tree, the drive-through idol stations that I mentioned earlier. Not only did Asa remove all the idols, but he commanded Judah to seek God and to follow the law and commandment. And it says the kingdom was quiet. Wow! Look at the difference seeking God and his word made in their lives. Verse 6 says, Asa built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and there was no war in those years during his 41-year reign, because the Lord had given Asa rest. It's amazing to see the difference when a people seek God. They get rest. That reminds us of the earlier teachings on the temple and the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of the temple was rest with Christ Jesus. At one point in Asa's reign, Ethiopia came to fight Judah. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah and 240,000 from Benjamin. It says when Asa went out against Ethiopia, he cried to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help." Asa's praising God like David did, lifting him up. He continued, "It's nothing for you to help whether you fight many or a few. O Lord our God, we rest in you, and in your name we go against the multitude. O Lord, you are God, let no man prevail against you." So the Lord defeated Ethiopia before Asa and Judah, and Ethiopia fled. The armies of Judah and Benjamin captured all the Ethiopian cities. In 2 Chronicles 15, God sent Azariah the prophet to encourage Asa to persevere in his spiritual revival. He said, "Hear me, Asa, king of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, and you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Look how faithful God is to guide his people. You know, he does the same for us today. We can read about Asa and pray that God would give us a desire like he had to put away sin of his fathers and set a godly example. That is hard to do, go against the mainstream of the world, especially in our world today. God isn't mentioned in schools, and media is so prevalent today that people are even afraid to mention God. Pray for boldness to stand up for your faith so others will feel comfortable joining you. God can use you in your circles if you will seek him and ask him to use you. Think about it. The spark of the remnant in Abijah's day started a fire that took hold in Asa. Pray that God would make you that remnant spark of faith that would take hold in others around you and start a fire for others to seek God. Now, let's take a minute to fast forward to the New Testament to see an example of one who had a spark that helped light a fire for God. Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Zacchaeus was a small man, so small that he had to climb a sycamore tree just to see Jesus. He was bold and not hiding. His spark of faith was so strong that he was proud to seek Jesus with humility. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. When he saw Jesus walking with the crowd, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, because Jesus was passing that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down, and Jesus received him joyfully. When all the crowd saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." You see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector and had cheated many people. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." So Zacchaeus was bold and not ashamed of his faith. And look what happened. He received salvation, which gives rest that is promised from the Lord. Rest from sin and rest from guilt. Zacchaeus was seeking God and he found him. In looking back at Rehoboam, Abijah, and Jeroboam, who were all evil and did not seek God, we can see the remnant that was left in Judah would continue seeking God and teaching others to seek God's face. This prepared the way for Asa to light a fire with his faith that changed the entire kingdom. So now let's look at us today. How can we make a difference in the world? Seek God. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, "Seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." Jesus said in Matthew 6, "But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So the boldness to make a difference in the world will be added. The boldness to stand up for Christ will be added. The boldness to show goodness to the world will be added. While we wait on God to do his perfect will, we must keep seeking him, keep discovering him in his word, study in depth, understand the things of God so that you can serve him with your whole heart. Can you imagine what would happen in the world if every Christian truly sought God, set out their heart to seek God? That would be amazing. But the big question is, how do you seek God? Well, Psalm 119 gives us some great clues. Let's take a look at it. This is one of the longest psalms in the Bible, so I'll break it down for you. In Psalm 119, the psalmist uses many words to describe and refer to the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God. That's how you begin to seek God, is through His Word. Think about it. If you wanted to meet someone very special, how do you get to know them? You talk to them, right? Well, the Word of God is how God talks. So talk to him in prayer while you listen to him in his word. Let's look at Psalm 119 to see the power in God's word. First, the words in this psalm that refer to the word of God are law, instruction, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, decisions, promise, sayings, and finally the word. So when you hear one of those words, you know that it means the word of God. That makes the psalm easier for you to read. Now, the psalmist is focusing on seeking God. He says in verse 1 through 7, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity or sin. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I will not be ashamed when I have respect for all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I have learned your righteous judgments." So that's the beginning of Psalm 119. But the conclusion of Psalm 119 is that if you seek God, you will seek his word. You see, his word is his voice. In Psalm 119, 103, it says, "The word of God will be so sweet to your taste that it is sweeter than honey." If you've ever read around the Bible, you'll see that honey was a pure delicacy. Today, honey's common. We have lots of other sugars to replace that taste. But honey in those days was the purest sweet in existence. Now I'm going to go through and list all the benefits that Psalm 119 tells us if you seek God, you will find. There are many benefits to seeking God, so that's why Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It has 176 verses. So let me cover the benefits. The word causes rejoicing. The word brings delight. The word is wonderful. The word is hope. The word is pure. The word is peace. The word is praise. The word is truth. The soul longs for the word. The word strengthens you. The word is song. 76 is merciful kindness, and 77 is tender mercies. The word is understanding, so you will desire to talk of God's wondrous works. The word causes respect for God's ways. The word causes no shame. The word brings zeal. The tongue speaks of God. There is no reason to fear if you speak out, because in verse 135, God's face shines upon you. And in 114, you see his hiding place and shield. And the word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The result is the word enlarges your heart, literally causing you to run to the word of God. And in 55, the word is brought to your mind in the night. And in 62, you give thanks at midnight. I can say this from experience. The word will get you so excited that you will awaken in the night to think about it or quote it. You don't even have to try to memorize it. It just happens. The word causes meditation. Oh, how I love it. The word is broad. The word is better than thousands of gold and silver. The word causes you to see good in affliction, for God works all things together for good, from Romans 8:38. As the result of the word, God makes you wiser than your enemies, gives you more understanding than your teachers, and more understanding than the ancients. The word keeps you from evil. In 133, he says to God, "Order my steps in your word, and let no iniquity or sin have dominion over me." How hard is that one today? It is so easy to get addicted to things on the internet or to take our minds and time away from seeking God. The psalmist is telling us that if you seek God and his word, you will want to keep seeking more and more. Schedule time for reading the word and schedule internet time also, so there's an order and balance in your life. That way you'll keep your seeking God time and staying in touch with the world time. But if there's no balance, you might get caught cutting out the seeking God time. You need to schedule time to seek God so sin won't have dominion over you, like the psalmist says later. The psalmist also says that he is God's servant in verse 124, which seems to be the result of seeking God. The desire created by seeking God becomes one of a healthy fear that humbles and becomes a servant's heart. So who else had a servant's heart in the Bible? Jesus. 1 Peter 1 says, "Be holy as I am holy." You see, we are here to seek and serve God, to become more like Christ. God has a providential divine will. So the question is, will you fit into that plan or will? Or will you keep seeking your own agenda? All three of these kings, Rehoboam, Abijah, and Jeroboam, sought their own agenda, and look where it got them. With Rehoboam, the temple was stripped, and Abijah, he only reigned 3 years. And Jeroboam, he prostituted God's love for idols and depraved the hearts and minds of many Israelites. So if you choose to seek God, then dive into the Word of God to understand God. I'm sure that's what Asa must have done. He obeyed God's word that was spoken through Moses that said for the kings to write the law daily. That way, he was in God's word daily, which took out the crazy drama and conflict in his kingdom until the end of his life. There was some drama and conflict, but overall, God granted him rest in reward for his seeking heart that the scripture says was a perfect heart, like David's heart was perfect. So, back to us. What about the drama and conflict in our lives? What do we do about that? How can you focus on God when things in life get crazy? Well, the psalmist of Psalm 119 tells us about that. He talks about affliction actually being a good thing. He says that affliction is necessary to push you to seek God and to be in His Word. In Psalm 119:92, he says he would have perished in his affliction unless the Word had been his delight. So did you hear that? He had delight in the midst of affliction and struggles. So go to the Word of God and try this when you're frazzled and stressed. Don't panic in the affliction. Just learn from God's Word. In Psalm 119:50, he says the Word is his comfort in affliction, and the Word gives him life. As hard as affliction is to understand, we have to remember Isaiah 55:9 that says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts." In Psalm 119:153, he asks God to consider his affliction and deliver him because he doesn't forget God's words. Now, this is important because the best option is not to wait until you're frazzled and afflicted to go to God's word, but to go to God's word daily. Look at the difference in Abijah calling to God in affliction and getting help when the battle was about to get tough, as opposed to Asa, who continually wrote and meditated on God's word. Abijah was delivered, but Asa had a long reign as king full of rest and peace. Wouldn't you rather have that? So remember that affliction is drawing you to God, so continually stay in His word to be prepared. And remember to always give God the glory. He will always get the credit. Think about it. In the battle with Abijah, everyone knew God won the battle. He got the glory. With Asa, like David, he was continually praising God and pointing everyone to God so that the praise and glory continually went to God. So there are two scenarios here. One, what will you do in the face of affliction? Will you throw in the towel and give up? Will you get angry? Will you lash out and avoid God? Or two, will you seek God? Will you give God the glory every day of your life? If you respond to the drama and conflict in your life by seeking God instead of getting angry, lashing out to create more fights and conflicts, then you will find the delight and life in His Word, like Psalm 119 says. If you seek God, then you can get to know God like the psalmist did. I can tell you from experience that every word he spoke in Psalm 119 is true. The Word of God is so sweet to the taste that it's sweeter than honey and any other sugar there is. The Word is delight. It's wonderful, hope, praise, truth, life, and causes you to long for His Word more and more. It makes you rejoice. It strengthens you. It gives you zeal to give God the credit, and you feel no shame, and the list goes on and on, all in Psalm 119. Please take time to read it or listen to it on your phone. The more you listen to it, the more meaning it will have to you. And you'll find out that affliction that you're going through is okay, because the affliction actually draws you closer to God. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not the message that people hear today. It seems like the Christian message today is come to Jesus so you can be happy, happy, happy. Well, if you respond to affliction by seeking God and actually pray to serve Him, then you will be happy, even in affliction and struggles. You will have a servant's heart, not a selfish heart. That's the peace, hope, praise, and wonderful that Psalm 119 refers to. If you run to God in the middle of drama and conflict, then He will be your hiding place and your shield, like 119 talks about. He will be true love. You see, God has a love that knows no end. In today's relationships, there's always an ending. Friends come and go, boyfriends and girlfriends come and go, spouses can let you down at times, and you can fight over things because none of us is perfect, right? So, of course, occasional fights are to be expected in any earthly relationships. But guess what? There is one who is perfect. He is perfect love. His love knows no end because he is love, perfect love. He never fails. He never changes. He is merciful and always present to help us in our times of trouble or need. God does not cause drama or conflict. He's a God of order. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." So run to God for peace. God came to earth to fulfill the final covenant, the new covenant. In Revelation 19:13, we see heaven is opened up, and Jesus was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. So Jesus is the Word. He died for our sins so we could be forgiven, so we could live forever in a perfect relationship with God. When you have affliction in your life, where will you go? Go to God's Word to find the hiding place and shield. Go to His Word to find the peace. Go to His Word today so you can start building a relationship. Follow the psalmist and dive into the Word of God. Make sure and get apps for your phone so you can listen in the car or while at work. Set a goal to listen or to read the Bible every day. Start with 10 minutes a day, then go to 20 minutes a day and keep building. You're going to find the most amazing relationship of your life, one filled with perfect love that knows no end. Now, this all sounds too good to believe, right? I mean, with all the pleasures in our modern world, do you really think the Word of God can do all this? Absolutely. God never changes. He is always the same. We may disappoint Him, but He is always there for us, to forgive us, to console us, to heal us, to embrace us once again when we fail or fall. You see, Rehoboam, Abijah his son, and Jeroboam had all they needed in a perfect holy God who has perfect love. Just like Solomon, they had to learn the hard way that God has the only love that satisfies. They all went after other gods thinking they could satisfy their love, but it won't work. No other God has a love that knows no end. So truly seek God by diving into His Word, and you will discover His perfect love that satisfies. Then He can make you into a remnant, a spark that has the ability to light a fire for God, and a spark that can spread the news of what He has done for the world through the work of Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus saw it, Asa saw it, and the psalmist saw it. Look to God's Word so you can gain the understanding and guidance from God to be His light in the world. Pray to be a spark that God uses to light a fire in your circles for others to seek God also. Seek God and study His Word to find the rest that He promises. Hebrews 4:3 states, "For we who have believed in Christ the Savior enter that rest." So now, what about the joy that I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the teaching? What about the joy that was missing in Judah and possibly in our current life? How does Scripture say you get that back? Let me leave you with a scripture in 1 John 1-4 that gives a promise of joy and will show you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us through Christ. Here goes. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerns the word of life, which is Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and will show you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us through Christ. That which was seen and heard, we declare to you, that you too may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be complete." So you see, when you find eternal life and continue to seek God and seek His Word, you will find joy in your life by knowing the perfect love with Christ. Let me end by telling you some thoughts and reflections a special woman had when she had her quiet time at the beach. Listen closely. Several summers ago, while our family was vacationing at the beach, I got up early to meet the Lord for a few moments of quiet before the family awakened. As I sat on the porch, watching the sun come up over the ocean and listening to the gentle crash of waves on the shore, the Lord seemed to whisper in my heart, "What do you see?" I looked more closely at the scene before me and answered him in my spirit. "I see little sandpipers running along the edge of the water, making sure they keep out of reach of the waves with their long beaks. I see the skimmers flying down the beach, skimming the surface of the water with their long beaks. I see the seagulls standing in the tide up to their knees. And I see pelicans that circle, then dive head first into the waves, coming up with the fish that they seem to swallow whole." Then the Lord seemed to say to my heart, "The Bible is like the ocean, and the people who read my word are very much like those birds. Some will dance around the scriptures, not really wanting to step in and get their feet wet in Bible study. They are satisfied to just listen to their preacher or Bible teacher tell them what the Bible says. Others will read their Bibles, just skimming the surface for facts and information. Some will get in knee-deep, reading the Bible each day with a devotional or commentary close by for reference. And then there are some, like the pelicans, who dive in over their heads, going deep in the Bible study, applying and living out what they learn. Which bird are you most like?" I answered with wholehearted passion, "Lord, I'm not sure which one I am from your perspective, but I know which one I want to be. Please take me deeper into your word." And he has. Wow, what a reflection she had. Now, how about you? Which bird are you? Pray and ask God to take you deeper. Unlike this woman, we have the ability today to listen to the Bible in addition to reading it. I find when I want to dive deeper, I listen first on my phone a few times and then read it. It really helps the Bible come alive. We have such a privilege today of having all these extra tools. So use all the modern-day tools that God has provided for you to dive deeper into His Word. And pray that God will take you deeper in His Word, just like this woman did. I want to thank you for listening today, and I pray that you will go deeper in God's Word daily. I pray that you will have pleasant relationships in your life due to the constant efforts and prayers to seek God. Jesus said, "If you seek me, you will find me." If you seek God and His Word, you will find out His love is perfect love that knows no end. It's perfect in every way. It's full of rest and peace that brings joy. If you remember at the beginning of the teaching, Judah and Israel had lack of joy due to the drama and conflict caused by the wars and battles. They did not seek God or His Word. Later, joy returned to Judah because Asa was one to seek God and His Word daily. Follow Asa's example and see what God does in your life. Thank you.